today I have the wonderful privilege to having to introduce to you guys a guest speaker and a dear friend of mine. We first met many years ago, 17 years ago to be exact. He probably doesn't remember, but I remember the first day I met him because he was so tall. There's no way that a Korean man is that tall. But since then, he always stuck out, and I've always just enjoyed our interactions, though brief. We studied together from the years 2000 to 2003. We graduated, haven't seen each other for a long time. And I know that he was involved in pastoral ministry working in the L.A. area. And 2012, if I'm not mistaken, he made a pretty big move to move out to Korea to work in a church and minister to the expats and a pastor, English-speaking congregation. So God had called him for that. He was faithful for 4 years, growing the ministry, serving the people of God. While his time in Korea, he met one of our members, Robert, back there, when he was a troublemaker and up to no good. Anyway, so he just has a really, just kidding. And we love Robert. Just kidding, Robert. So he was just really faithful, and God had just really called him to return to the States, which I believe he considers home. And he's been back for the past 7-8 months, and God has called him to plant a church. And I found out as we reconnected at a pastor's retreat this past month. So immediately we got talking and we were sharing, and I shared a little bit of my journey of planting the church here in Anaheim, rooftop. And God just immediately knitted our hearts together. So I thought, why not have him come and minister to us? And hopefully that he will be reminded of just a beautiful call to continue to minister and pastor the local church. So it is my privilege and an honor to you to introduce to you guys my dear friend, Pastor Paul Sung.
Thanks, God. All right, church. How are you guys doing? Great to see you all. You know, it's a joy for me to be here. I was telling Scott, Pastor Scott, earlier that, you know, ever since I got back, it's been about 7 months, and there have been some speaking invitations. Now, every time I would say, no, I'm in the season of preparing for the launch of the church plant. So I said, you know, I can't do it this time. And just kind of just apologize. It was an excuse for me to not go and speak somewhere. But with this particular connection that God had made, I just felt this calling or nudging, I should say, to come. And more than just for me to just speak, I wanted to come and see what God is doing here, what the Lord is entrusting to your hearts as you come together to worship, to fellowship, but more than just being here in this place, being a community that is active, being a community that goes out into the world and makes impact in this world that is in need of the love of Jesus Christ. More and more. Ever since I got back, you know, I realized, hey, it's a different place now. There have been a lot of things going on politically and socially. There are a lot of, there's a lot of brokenness in the societies, in the communities that we're a part of. And I really wanted to just come and see what God is doing in your community, in your heart. Now, Pastor Scott has been sharing with me what he's been doing. And usually, you know, pastors are pretty good at, you know, just, you know, making sure that everything sounds right, right? Things are great. You know, people are excited. But as soon as I walked in that door in the back, I was telling Pastor Scott in his office that I already felt the excitement brewing as you guys were connecting with one another. I already sensed that God was, or God is, moving among you. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I love the prayer. Our brother, is it Jonathan? He started out and saying, Lord, would you fill this place with your freedom? Can you turn to a friend next to you and tell them, let's be free in Christ. Let's be free in Christ. Come on, church, let's say it with conviction. You say, let's be free in Christ. One more time. All right, we got some work to do here. Hopefully this is not just a lecture. We can be interactive. I'd love to just continue to just build up this community together, drawing closer to God as we dive into the Word. As Pastor Scott shared, we went to seminary together way back in 2000. I still remember when I first met him because it was in our intensive Greek class. It was like summertime. It was like two quarters into one. And I remember us sitting way in the back in the left corner. It was him. It was another brother named Michael David, a Hispanic brother. And it was me. And, you know, we got a bald guy. We got the Hispanic guy with blonde hair, bleached blonde hair. And I had red hair back then. It's pretty funky. I had ear piercings. So I'm sure the conservative students of our class was just looking back and thinking, what's up with those guys? We really look like we need a lot of prayer, right? Who would have imagined that we would be doing ministry so many years later and just following after God's heart? But that's where we began. And, you know, I grew up in La Crescenta. That's my hometown. Went to Rosemont and CV over there. And I went to Cal, Berkeley, to study biology. I was pre-med. You know, I always wanted to be a doctor growing up, ever since I can remember back in kindergarten. I think that was my goal in mind. So all throughout elementary school, junior high, high school, you know, studying sciences, it really motivated me to get into a good school. But after Cal, I decided to take a break because many of my friends who went on to medical school, they always said, oh, I wish I had taken some time off from school. So I decided to take some time off, travel. I played a lot of golf back then, and I began to just enjoy life without this burden of trying to accomplish something. And that's when God began to move my heart. And I started to question my calling, my purpose in this life. And I believe that's when my journey began to just kind of open up. I started to explore different things. I kind of put, pursuit of medical school on hold and began to pursue after music. Music was something that I was passionate about and started getting into worship ministry and, you know, traveling the world, doing rallies. And that really got me excited about life. So I believe, just looking back, there were other, you know, things that I had pursued, but that's when I began to realize, hey, maybe this is what God is calling me to do. So got into worship ministry, and that's why I went to Fuller, thinking that I would pursue music as a form of worship. But then God had a different plan for me. So as I was going through seminary, and I went into full-time ministry, but there was a season when I was thinking, man, I need to be doing something more. Something outside the church, obviously, was my pride talking, my need to self-satisfy my own ambition talking. So I decided to go to law school. And so this was back in like 2006. And took the LSAT, applied, and got into a school. And on the first day of orientation, that's when I met my wife. So back then, we were doing orientation, and you know, I'll tell you the story next time, if you ever invite me again. I don't know, after today's message, Pastor Scott's already like, man, he's just taking too long to get started. But you know, that's how we met, and God just said, okay, now you're searching, or you're going about places, it's enough, now come back. So I came back to a full-time ministry, and at the time I was serving at OMC, Family Chapel, which is the EM of OMC in LA. So I was there for about 5.5 years. And then God called us to go out to Korea. And I was at a church called Yongnak in Seoul for about 4 years doing the international ministry called the IWE. And that's when I connected with Robert back then, about a few years ago. And he was a troublemaker, but we loved him and we loved having fellowship with him. So it's good to see him again. And after 4 years, and abruptly God moved my heart to come back, one. Two, to plant a church. And planting a church was never on my heart. You know, my dad's a pastor, so I grew up as a PK. I've had issues growing up as a PK. And having seen him plant a church and what our family had to go through, I was like, oh, I'm never going to go into ministry. And two, I'm never going to plant a church. Lesson for you today, never say never. Whatever you say never to, God's going to change your heart, and he's going to make you want to do it. God's funny like that. But I never wanted to plant a church, but he called us to come back and start this brand new journey. You know, I've met a plenty of church planters in my life doing ministry, and I'm like, oh, great job you're doing. Continue to do it. And whatever they shared, just one in one ear, out the other. because I never had an interest. Now, I'm just like grabbing onto people. Like when Pastor Scott, when he told me that he planted a church, I'm like, hey, we need to sit down. Tell me about what you have done, what you're doing. What would you do again if you were to start all over? I have so many questions, so many things that I want to just soak up as I'm on this journey. And just being here today, it's just a huge encouragement for me. You know, Rooftop, about 2.5 years. What a success story that is. You know, I don't know the specific numbers, but statistics, within 2 years, like 90%+ of church plants fold. So for you guys, 2.5 years in, going strong, just seeing you guys, I can definitely sense that there's excitement in being here. Is it true? Or just putting up a facade? Oh, we got a guest speaker, so we got to amuse him. Yes. No, I hope that there's excitement in your heart that you are here, because if you are just wanting to just slumber and just kind of get, you know, just coast along, I don't believe that this is a place for you, right? You guys are way too exposed. Everyone sees you. People are going to want to know you. So if you're just trying to like hide out, I'm sure some people have left from your community. You know, it's not the right place. But what this shows me is that you have a heart to be activated by the Holy Spirit to do what He has called you to do, to create that intimate community, authentic community, genuine community that continues to do what God wills for us to do. I pray that that is on your heart, that that is what you are praying for, that that is what you are just continually dreaming about, because there's nothing greater than that. Amen? Amen. I love that there's an exit door right behind the pulpit beneath the cross. So maybe it's something that the Spirit is saying, hey, if you're trying to get out of worship early, just think about it again, right? There's the exit. You know, you can just go behind me. Or maybe thinking, hey, you need to exit out of the cross, beneath the cross, as you go out into the world. I love that significance. It just kind of came to me as I was just sitting there and praying that this is the door that we need to take. Mind you, the alarm might go off when you do so, but He's the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And we just need to continue to follow. And I'm just so encouraged by even the announcements, you know, with the retreat coming up, with the focus on impact, and also the children's ministry, that you guys are investing so much into the future generation. And it's not, I hope that they get to come inside more often, like she was saying, oh man, it's been a while, because they're also part of your community here. We're all family together. So I pray that we can just kind of break down this generational boundaries, that we can be one family together, listening to God together, worshiping God together. And that was like already a sermon, right? 10 minutes in. Let's dive in to what God has for us today. And ever since Pastor Scott invited me and said, hey, this is the passage that I'd like you to speak on, I looked at it and I'm like, really? This is what you want me to speak on? But I did believe that there was something that was on God's heart that he wanted to share through me, through my experiences, what God has shown me in the past, and what God had revealed within the past month that I've been meditating on this passage. So I hope that we get to hear from it, that you can be encouraged, that you would have the heart to activate your faith, go out and apply the truth to bear fruit in your lives, in your communities. And I'm glad that you guys were going through the letter to the Romans. You know, this book is just jam-packed with these intense and intricate theological thoughts. There's so much, even just in this 12 verses that I was given. Man, I could go on for days. Seriously, I was preparing it. Even this message, I was like approaching an hour. Like he was telling me, hey, I speak about 40 minutes. And usually I speak about 30 minutes. But mind you, I haven't preached behind the pulpit for about 7 months. So I got all excited, right? Oh, what do I share? There's so many things that I wanted to do. So I promise that you'll get out before lunch. All right? And I'll try to be as succinct as possible. When we read through the letter, we see that Paul talks about the law a lot. He actually mentions about 77 times in this letter. And in this particular chapter 7, he mentions it 23 times. That's a lot. So about a third of what he mentions about the law is found here in this chapter. So it shows us that he's being serious. Hey, this is where he's going to go and share with us his thoughts, his understanding, and his motivation for sharing and addressing the law. So as we go through this message, I wanted to share what God had placed on my heart. The one message that he put on my heart to share with you is that God wants us to experience more fully the new life in freedom. You can see that in the slide. God wants us to experience more fully the new life in freedom. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is here, amen? And there's freedom in this place. I pray that you can experience that more and more when you worship, when you pray, when you connect, when you fellowship, when you minister to one another, when you serve in these various ministries that are going on, that you can have this freedom in your heart. So what is this freedom? Let's talk a little bit more about it. I'm going to take you through 3 points regarding this freedom. The first point, we receive a full release in Christ. Second point, we receive a fruitful release in Christ. Third point, we receive a festive release in Christ. Let's dive into that first point. We receive a full release in Christ. Let's say it together. We receive a full release in Christ. Now, Apostle Paul opens up this chapter by addressing and telling us that the law is binding to a person as long as that person is alive. In other words, the authority of the law is bound to us only when we are alive. This means that one's death releases any legal or any responsibility that comes through contractual relationships. In verses 2 and 3, he gives us an example. Right? As you read through, let's read it together. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. So Paul is giving us this common legal concept of marriage, right? Anyone listening to this or reading this, they understand what this means. Why? Because marriage is a covenantal relationship, right? There is that bond that is resulted in that commitment. And under the law, as long as both parties are alive, then that's the legal bond that must be observed. So in this example, if a married woman gets together with another person besides her husband, then she is committing adultery. And at the time, adultery was a crime punishable by public stoning. Like out all in public, you can be stoned to death. So he's referring to this concept for us to understand that only death can break apart legal bond, a legal relationship. Yet he's referring much more, not just the physical and the emotional bond, but a spiritual one. He's talking about the adultery that people are committing, the people of God are committing in their covenantal relationship with him. We see throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, even today, people falling away from God, our first love, becoming an adulterous generation. They were seeking out other gods, seeking out other pleasures in place of God in their heart. So death was imminent. That's the law. Because we are committing adultery when we turn away from God, death is deserved by all of us, those who turn away from Him. And that's why Jesus had to come. Jesus had to take up the cross. He had to take up the burden of our sin. He had to pay the price, the wage of sin, which is death. And for all of us that embrace Christ, accept Him as our Lord and Savior, we have this wonderful gift of life. And that's what Paul is getting at, in that, hey, we are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. And we readily identify in the death and the resurrection of Christ. And this is what he says in Galatians 2:20, right? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So our death with Christ fully releases us from the bondage of sin, from the authority of the law. We receive this full release. That's a gift that you and I have received by His grace. So this frees us up from our previous marriage to the law, to this new marriage, new covenant with our Lord Jesus, our groom. So we are the bride, the church. So we have this new, wonderful, life-giving relationship with Christ. If you ever read Pilgrim's Process or Progress by John Bunyan, there's a portion where he walks into the parlor of this house. And this parlor is just filled with dust. And there's a man with a broom who just started to sweep up the dust. And what do you think happened? They all started to choke up with all the dust that's all stirred up. Then the interpreter that was with the pilgrim, he says, he orders the woman to sprinkle water all over. And the dust was all cleaned up nicely. So this gives us a picture of what an unrepentant heart looks like. The interpreter said, hey, the parlor represents an unsaved person's heart. The dust was sin. The man with the broom was the law. And the maid with the water is the gospel. And just like that, the law stirs up the sin, all the dust in that room, in that heart. But it is the water of the Spirit, the living water that comes from our Lord that washes away all the dust clean. Friends, that's the good news. Amen? That's the good news that we get to enjoy every day, every moment of our lives. What's the condition of your heart today? Is all the dust being stirred up as you just look at the commands, as you look at the law? Or are you experiencing the fullness of the Spirit, the living water washing away all of your sin? While addressing his fellow brothers and sisters, Paul is pointing out that while they are free in Christ, they were still living as if they were under the law. You know, living under the law doesn't necessarily mean that you're under the Mosaic law, like how the Jews observe the law. It means living according to the law that we put on ourselves. Like what, sometimes we pick and choose what we want to obey, right? What God has commanded. We're like, oh, I can do this one. Oh, that one, I'll just kind of sweep it under the rug and not deal with it. But we do that. We put certain laws. We impose them on ourselves. It also means measuring our self-worth by what we do or what others do. How that, what was that group called? Blocks? You know, Jonathan was saying, hey, if you feel like your leader's not doing a good job, if you feel like you could do better, go talk to him. Or go talk to Pastor Scott. Right? I'm sure that was just jokingly spoken, but to be honest, there are times when we think it, right? thinking, Pastor Scott, what kind of message was that? I mean, you would never say that in front of his face, but I'm sure there have been times you're thinking, man, that was nothing to me. What was he preparing during the week? How come he's not delivering something that matters to my heart? We begin to put certain things on our hearts. We begin to weigh out, assess our spiritual maturity on the things that we do and what others do. Because haven't we felt better because we looked at someone and we see that we're doing something better than them? Especially among believers, like reading the Bible. Oh, I read the Bible every day. Oh, look at this person. This person doesn't even open the Bible during the week. Because we pray more. Because we tithe more. Because we give more. Because we serve more. Because we don't swear like our coworkers. Because we don't watch certain movies or certain shows. Are we feeling better than others? Do we feel like we have a greater favor from God because we're doing certain things more? Friends, that's not much better than modern day Pharisees. We're being very legalistic as to how we please God, what we feel like we deserve in this life. When you ever see Pastor Scott at a nightclub, like don't go hiding, right? Don't go pointing fingers later. I'd say just go up to him, lay your hand on him, and just pray for him. Maybe he needs some prayer, right? Just a hypothetical situation. But things that we do, right? It really is telling of where we are in our heart, where we are in enjoying this freedom that we have. Friends, when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, from that moment, we are no longer under the law. We are under the grace of God. Amen? And that's what Paul's been talking about in the previous chapter. He affirms that we are not under the law, but under grace. Why are we still struggling? By placing ourselves back under the law, wondering why we're failing every day, why we're getting frustrated every day, why we feel like we're in this rut, unable to experience what some of these supernatural Christians are experiencing. It's not because they're special. It's because they understand this concept of freedom and the Spirit of God is working in them. So friends, don't miss out on this abundant life that God has already prescribed for you and me. This is a blessing. While we were once married to the law, now our death in Christ fully releases us. And we are able to enjoy this abundant life, being married to Christ, living in freedom. So that's our first point. We receive a full release in Christ. Amen? Second point is that we receive a fruitful release in Christ. Let's say it together. We receive a fruitful release in Christ. Verse 6 of chapter 7, it says this, "But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." By being fully released from the law in Christ through our death in Him, Paul says that now we live and serve in the new way of the Spirit. As I said earlier, as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And it's this indwelling of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to lead a life of sanctification, becoming more like Christ, leading a holy life. And it is this Spirit that produces fruit in our lives. Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Galatians 5:22. It is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the evidence that the Spirit of God is alive in us. When others see these fruits, or the fruit of the Spirit in us, they recognize that, hey, this is what
sets us apart from the world. Friends, when others see you, especially in your workplaces, right? Or when you're out and about, you're minding your business, just imagining others seeing us, are they seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your heart, in your actions, in your relationships? Do they see you loving unconditionally the unlovable? Do they see you being filled with joy even though there are difficult circumstances in your life? Do they see you at peace even though you are overwhelmed with life challenges? Do they see you practicing patience with the most difficult people in your office or maybe even in your family? Do they see you extending kindness to a person in need? Do they see you being faithful to what you have committed to do in your life, in the relationships? Do they see you being gentle in hostile circumstances? Now, already I can kind of imagine you guys thinking, oh man, I have difficulty doing that. I have difficulty doing that. That's not really a reality in my life. Friends, I want you to stop thinking that. I want you to start focusing on what you have been able to do. Things that you were able to activate in your heart. Why? Because, obviously, these are not things that we can do on our own. Amen? We need the Spirit of God to empower us. So instead of beating yourself up to, you know, to death because you can't do those things, because that's being legalistic, that's being under the law, I want you to start focusing on what you have been able to do by the Spirit living in you. Every time you experience more love in your heart, you're able to share that with somebody. That's the Spirit of God working in you, ministering onto that person, and ultimately ministering onto you. Same goes with joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Stop questioning, why can't I do that? Why am I struggling to do these things? Begin with Christ. Begin with the Spirit that is living in you. Be right with Him first. And all those things will come about because that's the offspring. That's the fruit that comes when you begin to follow Christ. So friends, a fruitful life is a holy life. A fruitful life is a holy life. What does holy mean? The word holy. It means set apart, being set apart. So a holy life means a life that is set apart for God. John 15:5, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's the Spirit of God that stirs us up. It's the Spirit of God that allows us to abide in Him, be devoted to Him. I pray that that will be one of your prayers, that you continue to lift up on a daily basis, because it is God who has given us an undivided heart. We can see from Ezekiel, God says, I will give them an undivided heart, a new spirit in them. So now our motivation changes. Before, we might have been wanting to obey because we feel guilty, because we feel like that would please the Lord in a way that we gain more favor from Him. It was coming from the legalistic point of view. I pray that that motivation changes to us loving God more, striving to abide in Christ more. And from that, we will receive this fruitful release. We're going to bear a lot of fruit. You know, if you've been following NFL, you know, Derek Carr of Oakland Raiders, he just signed the largest contract, right, of NFL. It's $125 million in 5 years, right? So he's like the most valuable player out there now, just, you know, monetarily. So in the press conference, you know, there was a reporter that asked him, so what are you going to do with all that money? And he said, Chick-fil-A.
You know, he's been eating very healthy, so he wants Chick-fil-A. He can get like 20 million combos, right? Spicy chicken combo. But more seriously, he said, the first thing I'm going to do is tithe. I was like, what? He said, the first thing I'm going to do is tithe. Just like back in college when I received that $700 scholarship check, I'm going to give my tithe. And then he said, you know, we're not going to change our way, me and my wife. We're just going to live the same way. But all this money is exciting because it's going to help a lot of people out in the world. And when he was asked, hey, which organization are you going to help? He said, well, I don't want anyone to know which organization I give to. I was so encouraged. That's a fruitful life. And I'm thinking, what am I going to, if I were to get $125 million, what would I do? I mean, I could think about all the things that I would want to do. Focus is on me. That's how immature I am. But here's this man out in public. Say, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to do something about the problems out in the world for the people that are suffering. Friends, I'm sure there are plenty of stories among you here of how God has been bringing fruit in your life. Keep telling that story. Keep sharing that story with others. Keep celebrating with one another. Give thanks to God. So friends, we receive a fruitful release in Christ. Amen? Now just quickly, last point. We receive a festive release in Christ. Let's say it together. We receive a festive release in Christ. In verse 9, he says, Apostle Paul, once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. You know, when I read this passage, I understood where he was coming from. I began to feel this weighty sadness on my heart. It's because it's not the commandment that was giving death, right? That was bringing death into his heart. Paul says that the commandment is holy, righteous, and just, and good. But it is sin that causes death. The commandment pointing out that sin in us. He says, when commandment came, sin sprang to life, I died. You know, you're going to meet my daughter out there after service. So I have a toddler. She's about 2.5. And she's the cutest thing. So lovable. She's a good daughter. But there are moments, right? She gets to me. Two of her favorite phrases. One, it's mine. She'll say, it's mine. Two, no daddy. And she'll actually waggle her finger and say, no daddy. Right? When I tell her, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. This is not good for you. No daddy. So just like in Paul's situation, right? When commandment came, I said, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. Sin sprang to life. No, daddy, I will not obey you. And death came. She's not dead to me, but I wonder where this little sinner came from. And my wife was saying, hey, she'll probably tell you, don't say that. She's cute. You'll meet her out there. This is not the life that God wants for you and me. This type of life, which is repetitive type of life where we just continually sin, right? God stirs up, right, through his law, all the sin in our heart, and we get all defeated, and we experience death coming alive in us, sin springing alive in us. Friends, I want us to be people of celebration. Amen? I want Rooftop to be a community of celebration. I want people around these warehouses and the communities around here, whenever they hear or they see Rooftop, they're going to say, hey, that's a church that celebrates life. That's a church that celebrates God. That's a church that celebrates one another. Friends, I dream of being part of a community where you just go in and they celebrate you. Why? Because when they see you, they see Christ in me. When I see you, I see Christ in you. But why is it that because of our sins, because of our preconceived notions, because of our reservations, we fail to see Christ in one another. Take a look at the person sitting next to you. Quickly, take a look. Do you see Christ in them? You guys are smiling and chuckling, so I'm gonna take that as a yes. We can work on that. Friends, I really hope that there can be this drive to celebrate, because that's the type of lifestyle that God has blessed us with. Under the law, that's difficult. We have to keep all the law and do it to a T so that we escape the wrath of God. And that's why they had to sacrifice, right? Shed blood. But Jesus has done that for us, for you and me. No longer do we need to sacrifice animals to shed blood. In Christ, we identify with his death. So we receive that full release. Then, through the Spirit of God that dwells in us, we have this fruitful release that allows the Spirit of God to bear fruit in our lives and plant them in the hearts of others around us. And we have this festive release. You know, I prepared so much more, and I had to kind of skip through. So there are certain illustrations that I wanted to share. But I'll end with this. There's a brother that I used to disciple in the past. And, you know, there was a lot of brokenness in his life. You know, he comes from the background of doing drugs and just bad relationships. You know, all these doors closing, and he was just trying to have an escape. And it was just in a bad place. But he got married, and he was trying to make his life better. But there were all these strains, relational struggles that were coming about, obviously coming from his heart. Because the essence of the issue was not being dealt with. But I sensed that God wanted to show him something more. That there was more to this life. That instead of trying to find an out from the relationship or the situation, that God was going to do something amazing in his life. So I invited him to come into a small group that I was discipling. We began to read the word together. We began praying together. And it wasn't easy. You know, he just struggled with it, but he kept Christ in his heart because he said, this is my only option. There was nothing else, or else, you know, his marriage was going to just end. Just wasn't going to be a pretty situation. But this one retreat, we went up, and, you know, in Korea, Yongnak is a Presbyterian church, ultra conservative. It's like one of the most conservative churches in Korea. Right? But as an international ministry, they knew that I didn't come from a Presbyterian background. So they gave me some room to minister in a you know, different way. But during that season, I felt like God wanted to just show our church something more than the conservative traditionalist experience of the church. So guess who I invited? Pastor Brian Kim down the street, right, from Echo Church. I want to say he's like ultra, like charismatic, but he is a charismatic pastor. Right? He's very open to the Spirit. He prophesies. But I just felt like God wanted to bring him on board, so I brought him, started ministering, and he was like trying to be respectful. Pastor Paul, what should I do with the congregation? And I was like, well, as the Spirit leads, just do whatever the Spirit is having you to do, right? And he said, are you sure? I was like, yeah, just do it. I got you. Like, I'll protect you from any tomatoes being thrown at you or for blasphemy or anything like that. And the first night, he preached. We started praying. People came up to the altar. People started breaking down. People started shaking. People started speaking in tongue for the first time ever. Like, people didn't know what was going on. They were like, this is crazy. What is this? But they wanted more of it. That was the exact words from David. He had been anointed by the Spirit that night. He's never spoken in tongue in his life, but he started just speaking something. He was like, I don't know what I'm saying. But he just kind of felt led. He was shaking violently. He experienced the power of God. And ever since then, His circumstances hasn't changed much. They haven't changed much, but his heart was transformed. He was excited about God. Yes, he had to deal with these issues continually, but he had experienced the full release. He had experienced the fruitful release as well as a festive release. He began to celebrate his life, relationship with Christ. I pray that that'll be your testimony, that you can experience more and more of who God is. That intimacy with one another, that would come from Christ first. That you can be intimate with God, that you would love God more and more. And I pray that that freedom, that results, that you can share that with not only in this community, but that you would do that with those around this church, wherever you go, in your workplaces, in your families, strangers that will come your way. I pray that you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit to share that freedom with them.